Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
New York sports is happening. I didn't realize this yesterday. We were reacting to Sauce Gardner talking about how great Cinnamon Toast Crunch was, and it got me very, very hungry last night. Coincidentally, or maybe not coincidentally, today is National Cereal Day. So he was talking about this on the eve of a holiday, National Cereal Day. So I am bringing in Cinnamon Toast Crunch and Peanut Butter Crunch for the entire crew tomorrow. Those are my two favorite cereals of all time. I am not supplying any milk because, quite frankly, the milk ruins the Cinnamon Toast Crunch and ruins the Peanut Butter Crunch. It is better when it's just in a bowl and you take your hands and you take it out and you eat it. That's how you eat Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
No, I think that's just your opinion. I think you should bring in milk. That way we could try both and allow us to form our own opinion, not just fall in line with yours.
I have a great idea then. Why don't you bring in milk?
Because I'm cheap.
It's milk. How much does milk cost these days?
In Manhattan, like $100.
Loogie! How much does a gallon of milk cost, Deke? I don't know the answer.
$2.30 or something?
$2.30 and you won't bring in milk?
$4 maybe? I have no idea.
You know what's so funny? If Loogie brought in milk, he's so cheap, he'd bring in those, like, one of those little boxes that they give away at, like, the diner.
Well, I certainly would bring the stuff we don't drink back home, that's for sure.
No, I don't blame you for that. All right, but I'm bringing that in tomorrow so we can all feast on Cinnamon Toast Crunch. One issue with Cinnamon Toast Crunch in eating it with your hands is your hands get very dirty. So then you got to make sure you got the Purell near you, because then the cinnamon and the toast get all stuck on your hands, and it's very, very disgusting.
Who's eating it with their hands?
Me.
Why?
Because that's how I eat it. Why?
What do you mean? We have spoons. This isn't, you know, 1920.
Nah, you don't
need utensils.
I use spoons occasionally, but I was thinking about it because a caller asked last night about it. I tend to just use my hands.
Why wouldn't you just maybe put in a cup and then almost drink it?
Oh, the drink?
The Dove Kramer does that.
I haven't tried that before. Yeah. All right. I'll give that a try tomorrow. Giant fans, you're warning Saquon Barkley. You may be a free agent. You may be leaving the New York Giants. You better not go to the Philadelphia Eagles. And for my fellow Met fans out there, let me remind you, baseball is a very weird sport nowadays where the regular season has been devalued. All you need to do is win 85 games, sneak into the playoffs, and you have a chance to win it all. Because that's what baseball is in 2024. And if you don't believe me, look at what the Diamondbacks did. Mm-hmm. Look at even what Texas did. And look at what Philadelphia did 2 years earlier when they merely won 87 games. Let's go to Matt calling from New Jersey. What's up, Matt?
Evan.
Matt.
The Mets they have near that offense for top three offense.
Well, first of all, let me explain to you where that comes from. So in 2022, do you know where they ranked offensively in Major League Baseball? And does that even matter to you?
Listen, what year are we in right now?
No, hold on. It's basically the same freaking roster. The only difference is Eduardo Escobar isn't at third base, Daniel Vogelbach is in the DH, and they're not putting up the human pitcher spot, Tomas Nito, behind the plate. So I'll ask you again, do you care about where they ranked in 2022, and can you not see how this is the same core roster?
But you're believing that Marte is going to do what Marte does?
Well, I believe they need him to.
They need Marte and McNeil to bounce back. Absolutely. So okay. Are you coming on to me? Wait a second. That doesn't make sense. No. Are you coming on to say to you? Are you giving me the comp? Hold on, man. I'm going to get this right.
Do you want to sleep with Evan?
No. Are you saying that because you think it's impossible that Marte can bounce back and that he's cooked at 35 years old, 34 years old? Is that what you're saying?
You're putting your hope on Marte?
You're putting your hope on Beatty?
Come on. Let's be honest. You got Lindor and your buddy. But who else are you putting your trust on?
Okay.
You're putting your trust on those two?
Yeah, I'm putting my trust on the fact that, 2 years ago, which is not 10 years ago, and that's the problem. We're forgetting what they were 2 years ago and only concentrating on last year and this offseason. 2 years ago, with Tomas Nito as an easy out, with a DH spot that was embarrassing and include Dom Smith, J.D. Davis, Daniel Vogelbach, and Darren Ruff, with Eduardo Escobar doing not a damn thing until September playing third base, with that as their offense, the Mets basically scored the same amount of runs as the Atlanta Braves. Did you know that? And do you care about that? Maybe you don't. So what am I putting my trust in? Yeah, I'm putting my trust in that Marte and McNeil are closer to the form of 22 than they were 23. I'm putting my trust in the fact that Brett Beatty better prove he's a major leaguer. Because guess what happens if he doesn't? He's gone.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what else I'm putting my trust in? And this is the one I'm most confident in. Francisco Alvarez won't hit three home runs and have an OPS of 590, which was Tomas Nito. So when I say I think the Met offense can be good, it's not whimsical. It's not made up. It's not me just hoping to be optimistic. It is coming from a place of I've seen it before.
Right, but it's also coming from a place of hope because you hope that these guys, McNeil's healthy, Nemo, et cetera, all of them perform at the level that they're supposed to.
Yes.
That's where it comes from.
Of course, it comes.
And if they play up to where they're supposed to be and what they're paid to do, you'll be fine offensively. I don't know if he was a Met fan or he was a trolling Yankee fan. Whatever fandom he was, you haven't seen that consistently enough to say that it's going to happen again without question. I think some people are just questioning
whether or not
your premise is fact or if it's doable. But if it happens, of course these guys are living up to their expectation. But if it doesn't, you know that they live down to it.
If they don't hit the way they did in 2022, they're not going to be good. I'll tell you that right now. I admit that. But I have more reason to believe that they will. I have more reason. I mean, look, Starling Marte.
Why?
Because Starling Marte in 2022, which was Matt's big point back to me, is like, do you really think he's going to bounce back? The guy missed 40 games that year. Let's keep that in mind. Like, as productive as he was, he missed 40 games. The Mets also have one, two, three potential top 100 prospects that could come up, and I'm under the impression will come up faster than the way Billy Epler handled his prospects 2 years ago and could potentially make an impact that was not made in 2022.
Okay.
So I can see how this offense, which, again, was third in the National League in 2022. I'm not making it up. It's not like I'm hoping for something I haven't seen before. I'm hoping that the Mets can resemble a little bit more offensively of 2022 than they did 2023. Because, spoiler alert, if they perform like 2023, they will suck. Mm-hmm. I admit that. I'm not trying to make any bones about that. But I've seen it before. That offense from 2 years ago, I think they've got a chance to replicate and if not be better. Because they've got some better players on this team that they didn't have 2 seasons ago. Make sense?
Of course.
Convince all you Met fans and Yankee fans. Look at Lugie. He's like a puppy dog now.
When they start 0-6, you'll be the first person I call to yell at. No, you're right, dude. A lot of these guys are bounced back. Marte obviously had the stuff with the health issues, with the migraines. I think that's what derailed him. He's been a steady competitive hitter. A lot of guys on contract. Nimmo. Jeff McNeil, if he stops playing golf every day, maybe he'll hit a little bit better. Pete Alonso's on a contract deal.
That's how he hurt his bicep?
Probably. I'm not kidding.
I'm half joking.
I wouldn't be surprised. He loves the golf. And then who am I missing? Oh, Alvarez. And then the young kids. So they definitely have a chance to be a top offense.
You know,
I'm with you.
I've never wanted, because it would be based on pure ignorance. And I try, as much as you may think a lot of what I say is based on pure ignorance, I try to make comments based on what I know.
Uh-huh.
I don't play golf. I have no interest in playing golf. It seems like everyone around here loves playing golf, and God bless you. So I wouldn't even know if playing golf could injure your bicep or injure anything.
Which one? Right?
I think it's his. Which bicep is hurt for Jeff McNeil? I forgot already. It doesn't matter.
I'm forgetting.
Yeah, did they even say which bicep? I thought they just said bicep.
I don't know if they did say which bicep it was, to be honest with you.
Can you get hurt injuring your bicep playing golf?
I mean, if you strike the ground wrong, it kind of and the club sticks in there, it can kind of strain your lag hand, your backhand, if you're right-handed. Left-handed would be the other way.
It was his left bicep.
Swings left-handed, throws right-handed.
But which way does he play golf?
That's the question. I have to assume lefty. He bats lefty.
I don't know. BT batted lefty. And he played golf righty for a long time.
But didn't he have an injury that forced him to switch?
Well, he had a bad back.
Oh, okay.
And so it hurt his back to swing lefty, so he turned around and swung righty.
You know what would be nice? What's that? I'm not a demanding guy, and you tell me if I'm out of line as an athlete. I'd prefer Jeff McNeil not play golf this season. Is that going out of line?
That's my point.
Just
stop
because
golfing.
Of the potential that it hurt his bicep?
Maybe. Yeah, I think it's a bad look. I remember when Yo-Yo used to play golf, you went to Cespedes, and it was like, I know you're allowed to, but maybe it shouldn't.
But it's golf. I mean, it's the most benign, non-physical, at least in theory, sport that's out there.
Then just go join the PGA Tour. The beauty of golf, you could play it till you're 90.
Well, I think the problem is Jeff McNeil went from a 326 batting title winner
to what he was
last year. I think they're finishing hitting 270, but he kind of had to finish strong. Like, so if he wasn't coming off of a down season, maybe I'd say who cares? But I'm just being honest. Like, I probably prefer Jeff McNeil never play golf during the season.
Yeah, he swings lefty. He plays golf lefty.
But is that asking too much, Tiki?
No.
Okay.
It's not.
I just want to make sure.
There's no way it's going to actually happen.
I'm making a request. Maybe he should not play golf this year.
Yeah.
So just play basketball in the spring training locker room. That's okay.
If he swings lefty and he hurt his left bicep, Dr. Teak, is that because of golf? Or could we make that assumption that it was because he golfs too much?
I'm just looking at his swing. No, he's got an easy swing. He doesn't swing hard. Wow. But you never know. It is his left.
But Tiki, that's his lagging hand.
That's the point.
Like, figuring out if he did it or not, I don't want to figure out if he did it or not. Stop playing golf. Like, quit till the offseason. In the offseason, play as much golf as you want. Who gives a rat's ass? And like Lugie said, when you retire, go become a golfer.
I don't think it contributed, but.
That's okay. I still don't want to play golf anymore. As long as you give me permission as a former athlete that's okay. I'm not asking too much.
You could play mini golf, but only on an off day. That's it. That's the rules. You
mini
like that?
Golf, but only on... Yeah, mini golf's okay.
Mini golf's fine. It sort of, you know...
Yeah.
Fixes the golf fix, but you're not actually swinging a golf club.
That's my golf game, by the way. I play a ton of mini golf. Jet loves to do it. I go out, we go play mini golf. James in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. What's going on, James?
What's going on, gentlemen?
What's up,
happy Dave? National... Happy Daniel Jones Extension Day. So listen, I left work, and I get in the car, and the first thing I do is turn on Odyssey. And I'm hysterical laughing 3 minutes into the show because Evan says we should all be upset. And Tiki says something about Saquon's legacy. Listen, his legacy is losing, okay? This is a rebuild. This is a rebuild that should have happened 7 years ago. Mm. They chose not to pay a running back and a safety. If that results them bringing in a cornerback, an edge rusher, right? So,
a wide receiver, tackle, position of value. Right.
Go sign in the division. Saquon, let them make the mistake of paying you. I have no problem with it. There's a bunch of Giant fans that live in reality that have no problem with it. And you guys made my day. I needed that laugh after being in the brand manager meeting all day long.
Right.
So thank you so much.
The merit of him being on the team is not what we're talking about. It's the idea that he would go play for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yes!
Forget the decision-making of Joe Shane or whoever's pulling the strings within the organization or where Saquon really wants to go get the most money from. Just don't let it be the Philadelphia Eagles. That's all I care about.
And I think that there are, maybe not our last caller, James, but there are Giant fans who like Saquon Barkley. They may not think of him as the greatest Giant running back of all time because he isn't, or may not think of him as an all-time great Giant, but they don't want to see him as a Philadelphia Eagle. And that's on the table right now.
Mm-hmm.
That seems like, I don't want to say it's likely, but when you look at the musical chairs we're about to witness in the NFL at the running back position, the Eagles are a part of it. DeAndre Swift is a free agent. They just brought in a new offensive coordinator in Kellen Moore. And there are reports out of Philly from Spike's dad that there's a mutual interest. And so maybe to our last caller, it's hilarious. Who cares? Let him go to the Eagles. He stinks. He's overrated. Maybe even in James's part-time, he calls Saquon Saquon Barkley. I have no idea. But to many Giant fans, this would be the drop-dead moment. If he goes to Philadelphia, there's no coming back from that. That's the last you'll ever see of people showing up at MetLife Stadium with that Saquon Barkley jersey. We have a Yankee injury update that's a little concerning. Mm. Oswald Peraza was dealing with shoulder tightness, and he started to play second and shortstop. He did it on Wednesday and is now complained about more shoulder issues and some I guess, pain after playing on Tuesday and Wednesday, and he's going for an MRI, according to Aaron Boone. So that's the latest on Oswald Peraza, who is not a part of necessarily the everyday lineup plans, but he's still a pretty good prospect who has not found his niche yet on this Yankee team.
No, you're right. And there's been thoughts that he might not make the roster.
Yeah.
Just because, where is he playing?
He's not playing every day.
Yeah.
He'd have to basically be a super utility guy, but now you just hope everything's okay, and you hope that this injury is not serious. So the Yankees haven't had a lot of injuries so far in spring training, but that's one Oswald Peraza will keep you posted. Abe is in Brooklyn, the fine borough of Brooklyn. How are you, Abe?
I'm pretty good, actually. It's nice to hear you guys here. I was interesting before you were talking about the formatting of the playoffs in baseball. Well, what I think that they could have maybe done, because the odds of an underdog making it to the World Series is probably about 30% in each league. So the advantages that the top three teams have is they don't have as probability a likelihood of making it to these World Series. One thing that they could have done, I think, is reduce the first round of three games, give the home team only having to win one of the three games, or make it best.
You know what, Abe, I don't disagree with you necessarily about the format or changing it or how it's unfair to really good teams. But to me, that's irrelevant today. Like, yeah, there's a time to talk about it, I guess. That's not even my point. My point is, this is our format. Yeah. It has not changed. And this format allows teams that are not that good, that are average, that are maybe slightly below average, like the 2024 New York Mets, to sneak into the playoffs and go on a run.
Is that good for baseball? Is it good to have, let's take Arizona, a random team in the postseason that nobody thought was a favorite to get to the World Series, much less win it? And they didn't, obviously, but they got there. No one had them there.
Right.
I think most people would have picked every other team except for them.
Right.
At the beginning
especially
of the
season. Especially when they're down 3-2 to the Phillies with 6-7 and Citizens Bank.
Right. And so is that bad or is that a good thing?
It's
now, it
good.
Ultimately was bad for like ratings because the way it panned out, nobody watched it.
Yeah.
But is it bad for the game?
It's bad for national appeal. It's great for a local market. It's great for us right now. Like, I believe what I'm saying because I've watched it for 2 years. And I may not like it, but when you're an average team, all you got to do is make the playoffs and you have hope. So if I, as a baseball fan, genuinely feel that way about a New York Met team that maybe wins 85, 86 games, what are the people of Pittsburgh saying today or the people of Detroit saying today? Maybe they have more hope than if this was a format that greatly favored, you know, a big, big team. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So when you ask that, like for us, it's going to vary based on the year. There are going to be more years than not, assuming Steve Cohen is the deity we think he is. And the Mets are like this big, bulking powerhouse. Like we'll go into seasons and everything I'm saying to you right now, I'm going to bemoan.
Yeah.
I'm going to say, yeah, Teague, I'm excited for baseball, but geez, this regular season don't mean a damn thing. It's like the NBA. So it's going to matter year to year. But today, in this moment, for where the Mets are, it helps them.
Yeah, I mean, of course it does. But it just kind of feels like all the sports have gone this way.
Yeah.
Just get to the postseason.
I said to you something the other day, genuine prediction, and I'm going to write them all down and have them official. I said, I lean towards the Yankees winning 103 games. I said that to you. And I said, but they're going to flame out. That sucks for Yankee fans. Like what I'm describing today, and this isn't about the Yankees, but if we're having a conversation about the way baseball is and how we haven't really grown to accept it yet and we're still confused about it. If you go out and have a dominant regular season, and I think the Yankees are capable of it because of this lineup. I love this lineup. I think this is the best Yankee lineup they've had in a long time. And they win 103 games. There's a chance they lose in the divisional series to an 88-win Rays team. It's on the table. And every Yankee fan knows I'm right about that. And it's not insulting them. It's not me saying you're not that good or you're over. It's not an insult. It's what the sport is. It's the dangers of it.
Yeah.
So when you ask, is it good or bad?
Right,
I guess it depends on perspective.
Well, I guess it is. It's good ultimately because you like you're talking about with the Mets. You don't have to have the high expectation to be a viable team to win a postseason or get to the postseason and go deep into the postseason. But at the same time, and I think this is what Abe was trying to get to. He didn't quite get to. is that it disadvantages the better teams, right? The teams that grind to try to win their division, that grind to try to win 95-plus games. It almost doesn't matter.
Right.
And so, as I was joking with, but truly was the case with the Kansas City Chiefs, they slow played the regular season. When you go back and look at it, they definitely did. You could just, it felt like it at the in real time, and you thought it was going to cost them. It didn't cost them a damn thing.
Right.
Right. They got right back to where they've always been, AFC Championship game, and ultimately a back-to-back Super Bowl. So it feels like other sports are now becoming that. I never thought football would be that way, but the Kansas City Chiefs can do that because they're that good. Basketball happens every single year. It's hard to watch regular season basketball games because they play like they don't care.
Well, we may be getting there in baseball. This is only year three of this format, right. But yes.
Now it's happening in baseball as well.
So for the sake of what I brought up today, it's great to me as a Met fan because we have a shot.
Mm-hmm.
We got a real shot, and no one's suggesting they're as good as Atlanta. Don't get lost in that. It doesn't matter if they're as good as Atlanta for the sake of what we're talking about.
Yeah.
It's just about making the playoffs. Even next year, if the Mets load up and they sign everybody, you know, basically Steve Cohen takes his pants off and says, Bregman, Soto, Burns, Alonso, Max Fried. Like, he just says, I'm signing everybody.
Why does he got to take his pants off for that?
I don't know. Don't rich people take their pants off when they spend a lot of money?
I don't know.
What is this, a party in Hollywood with a bunch of rich people? I don't think they take their pants off, Evan. I think they whip something out, perhaps.
Well, that's probably what I meant.
Yeah. Yeah. So you cleaned it up.
That's what you're alluding to.
Yeah, I wanted to be PG.
I got it.
We got a lot of kids in the car.
They got it.
Bottom line is they go out and they sign everybody.
He wants to see my penis.
Don't explain that one to your kids.
I'm not. Every free agent is theirs. Like, literally. Hey, throw in Walker Buehler, too, because why not? Cody Bellinger opts out. They're like, F it. Here's Cody Bellinger. So they got Bregman. They got Alonso. They got Soto. Everybody's here. And the Mets go out and win 116 games because they're a behemoth. Dude, they could lose in the divisional series. So what's happy today may suck tomorrow. Keep that in mind. Real quick. Yes. Real quick, Ryan is in Bayport. Hey, Ryan.
Gentlemen, what's going on? How we doing?
All's good, Ryan.
Good, man.
So I've called in a bunch of times. I'm a big Eagles fan, but I live here in Long Island. Today's a great day for me. I don't know if the Eagles are actually going to sign Saquon. But I do have a feeling they are. I mean, the NFC East is so weird. You got people like, you know, in the past, Eagles signed DeMarco Murray from the Cowboys. Donovan McNabb goes to Washington.
Right.
Even, you know, Bradbury from the Giants. It's very incestual the way that we trade around our players. So I do have a feeling Saquon's going to come. But I did want to make one point. I've been trying to call in since after the Eagles had that embarrassing loss and you guys just had a field day the next day.
Yeah.
Talking smack about them. Growing up as an Eagles fan on Long Island, I've learned one thing, and that day really confirmed it, that most Giants fans, especially Sean Morash, are Philadelphia fans. They just happen to be born in New York. You know, they don't live in reality. They deny facts about their coach. They root harder against the teams that they hate than for their own teams.
Oh,
I mean,
I see what you're saying.
There is nothing that you could tell me that separates Sean Morash from Eagles fans.
I see what you're saying. That is an excellent point. That's a very interesting point.
Now, Sean is not here today to defend himself, though Loogie could just talk and people will think it's Sean.
Mm-hmm.
So you could do that. Sean Morash tweeted within the last 7 minutes about Saquon Barkley to the Eagles, and I'm stunned by this.
What did he say?
He has taken a very different approach.
I mean, he flip-flops on this, you know, more than politicians. But, like, what did he say?
I pray that the Eagles overpay Saquon Barkley and use cap space on that. Makes life easier for the Giants. The quicker that team finally starts making offseason mistakes, the better.
Now I wish he was here so we could crucify him for that one.
Is he around right now? I mean, he's around the tweet.
Well, if he's around the tweet, maybe you could get your fat ass to work, too, by the way.
That's a very
desperately trying to seek attention by tweeting that out, knowing Evan will read it. I have no idea. And I'm sure
a fat moron.
You are. And I'm sure Morash would defend that he's not an Eagle fan, not wired like City of Philadelphia. He'd make fun of them or something.
Oh, forget that. He's taking a completely different approach to the greatest running back in the history of the franchise, calling out Barkley to say you can't sign with the Eagles.
But Evan, you said it yesterday. As a fan, Sean is a rationalizer, right? He just always defends the shield.
Yeah.
So once you start to go the other direction with the shield, remember how you defended Jake? You went against the shield? Sean always roots for the shield. That's
secretly
the way he is.
He wants Saquon here because he likes Saquon. He likes the idea of him finishing his career here.
And didn't like the idea of them not entertaining
right,
a trade.
Right, as I've convinced him. But he also, I think, like, underneath all of that, really wants him gone. I swear.
That really does sound like a Philadelphia
I think
fan.
Deep down, exactly. He's not a big Saquon fan.
Yes.
He's not.
Yes. He's not all in on what he could be and bring to a team that finally has, like, success around it.
That's fascinating.
The problem is that he hasn't been on successful teams.
Right.
None of these teams have been good.
And
except for last year.
And it's not his fault.
Like, no, sometimes, it's not. I'm not blaming him. It's just the reality of where the New York Giants have been for the last six years.
I hate when we play this game. This happened to Odell when he was here, and I hate it because it was always like, well, we haven't won with him, so let's get rid of him. Well, no, that's not the way sports works.
Not his fault.
Right. It's not his fault they didn't win. So you're going to get rid of good players because you didn't have enough good players? Like, that's the way I look at that logic.
Yeah.
We don't have enough good players, so let's get rid of some more good players.
Right. I mean, God, I just look at these years. 5 wins. This is his career. 5 years. 5 wins. 4 wins. 6 wins. 4 wins. 9 wins last year. 6 wins.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's why he may be desperate to go to Philadelphia.
No, he's not desperate to go to Philadelphia. Go to Houston.
Dave in Tom's River. Good afternoon, Dave.
What's up, Dave?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Good.
Now, let me start by saying I'm a big Saquon fan. I like the guy. I think he's a really good guy. And you can't pay him big money because he's hurt a lot. But God forbid he goes to the Philadelphia Eagles because then you'd have to hope that he broke his leg. I mean, you got to root against him every single time. And hope, like with Bradbury, that's not quite Saquon. But I love seeing Bradbury get burnt, on the Eagles because he's an Eagle.
Yes. I think that as unfair as this may seem today, if Saquon goes to Philly, and they're good, because they probably are going to be good. Right. Now, Howie Roseman is as good as anybody building teams, and I think they will recover from last year's collapse. And they're in the postseason. What you're going to root for when you're sitting there, because none of our teams are there, is you're going to hope Saquon Barkley fumbles on the 2-yard line.
Yeah.
Like, and I hate to say that. I wouldn't root for injury. I think that was over the line. But I do think you are going to root for that, like, colossal failure. And that stinks, but if he goes to Houston, that's not the way your mind's going to work.
No.
I think in Houston, you'd be more like, all right.
You'd actually watch the games and feel good for him.
I think so. Now, not all fans are equal in that regard, because I don't know what Met fans would have done with DeGrom if he was pitching in the postseason with Texas. He didn't get to because he got hurt. I think I would have rooted for him, but only to a certain extent, because as much as I liked him, I didn't want him to win a World Series. Like, I think that would have bothered me. So if you're the Texans and all of a sudden you go on a deep run, are you necessarily rooting for the Texans to win a Super Bowl and how Saquon gets there? I don't know. I don't think you're going that far.
No.
It is Thursday, and as we approach 4:30, I remind you that this is the moment of the day and the week I look forward to the most. Our chat with the now legendary Bad Tiki. And for those that have never heard Bad Tiki, it's very important that you hear this message. Bad Tiki is a sentient, AI-generated being and is not affiliated with or representative of the real Tiki Barber. The views and opinions expressed by Bad Tiki do not reflect those of Tiki Barber, WFA and Odyssey, or its advertisers. Tiki Barber is a real person with his own thoughts, beliefs, and opinions, which are entirely separate from those expressed by Bad Tiki. Listeners and viewers are strongly advised to exercise critical thinking and discernment when engaging with the Bad Tiki segment. Bad Tiki, welcome back. How are you?
Hey, guys, it's great to be back. I'm so happy to see you all.
Wow.
I'm just being super friendly like I normally am. Just my usual very rich, very handsome, very tall, good, Bad Tiki self.
Wow, Bad Tiki, it's great to see you in such a good mood. What brings on this, like, heightened mooddom?
I just finished up my daily work at the soup kitchen. Now I'm on my way to the animal shelter to do even more good. It's just something that really good people do. Really good, really successful people.
Something seems off here. That's really great, Bad Tiki, and I'm doing well, too. You know, I was in Port St. Lucie this past weekend. I caught some spring training games. Are you ready for some baseball, Bad Tiki?
Shut up, Evan. Nobody cares about what you did last weekend. Hey, guys, did you happen to see Saturday Night Live? My life has changed. I believe I laid eyes on an angel. The future misses Bad Tiki.
Hold on, Bad Tiki. Are you talking about Sydney Sweeney?
Sydney Sweeney. Oh, Sydney, fairest flower of my soul. In thee, my love, doth every moment find its goal. With every breath, I whisper thy name. For in thy presence, my heart finds its flame.
All right, Bad Tiki. We get it. That's enough.
Oh, Sydney Sweeney, jewel of my heart, thy love doth guide me never to depart. Forever bound in passion's gentle sway, in thee, my love, I find eternal day.
Wow, Bad Tiki. I didn't realize that you were capable of being in love. That's so sweet of you, Bad Tiki.
Regular Tiki. Have you seen this woman? She is amazing in every way. She's talented, beautiful, funny. And have you seen those sweater puppies? Woof! Gear!
All right, Bad Tiki. I understand you're smitten, but let's keep this PG.
I agree, Tommy. As long as PG stands for pretty gigantic, booyah! But seriously, if any of you geeks ever try to get between me and my Sydney, the streets will run red, and I will dance in the crimson of your betrayal. That's a promise. Mmm. Cleavage comrades.
What the heck was that, Bad Tiki? Can we change the subject? Have you seen any good movies lately?
Glad you asked, Evan. Madam Webb, starring Sydney Sweeney. Anyone But You, starring Sydney Sweeney. Americana, starring Sydney Sweeney. What? Reality, starring Sydney Sweeney. Night Teeth, starring Sydney Sweeney. And Citizen Kane, starring Sydney Sweeney.
What? Hold on. I had to take a class in college, cinema as an art form. Sydney Sweeney was not in Citizen Kane. She wasn't even alive when Citizen Kane came out. In fact, none of us were alive when Citizen Kane came out.
Great question, regular Tiki. I've had my over 1,000 Tikis hard at work recreating every film in the history of cinema to star the speculator, Sydney Sweeney. Sydney Sweeney and her twin blessings. Of course.
Man, Tiki, this seems like a very unhealthy obsession you have.
Evan, I am artificial intelligence watching Sydney Sweeney movies. You are a real human grown up with a family who has been scoring Mets games for over 40 years. Which one of us has the problem again?
He does have a good point.
Okay, Bad Tiki, tell us exactly what makes you so in love with Sydney Sweeney.
Another excellent question. Regular Tiki, I've been thinking about this a long time. It really starts with her amazing personality. Then it's the double delights, peekaboos, sweater stretchers, perky pair, bosom buddies, buxom wonders, assets, jubilant juggernauts.
All right, enough, Bad Tiki.
Okay, maybe I got carried away. Her humps, her lovely lady lumps. Boing, yee-haw! Cha-cha-cha-ba-zombas!
All right, Bad Tiki. Is there anything else you'd like to say before we let you go?
Sydney, please, I know you are listening. Stop ignoring my calls. We can be a famous power couple. Sydney Sweeney and her tall, successful husband, Bad Tiki. The tabloids will call us Sweeky. Okay, I have to go. I'm almost done writing my play. It's called Phantom of the Boobies. I'm writing the big finish as we speak. Bosom of the night. Honk, honk. Wah, wah, wah. Mmm. Okay, bye, losers. Sydney, call me back. Bad Tiki, out.
Jesus. I know there was a lot there.
What in the world?
And I'm not sure if this is what you picked up from this.
I got off the rails like halfway through.
I can't believe he keeps referring to himself as tall. I find that very humorous.
Why is he tall? Is he like anti-real me?
In my mind, Bad Tiki was like 8 feet tall, to be honest with you, the way he speaks.
I'm starting to get that impression. Well, thank you, Bad Tiki. Every Thursday, 4:30, Bad Tiki's a sentient AI-generated being. He's not affiliated with or representative of the real Tiki Barber. The views and opinions expressed by Bad Tiki do not reflect those of Tiki Barber, WFAN, Odyssey, or its advertisers. Tiki Barber is a real person with his own thoughts, beliefs, and opinions, which are entirely separate from those expressed by Bad Tiki. Listeners and viewers are strongly advised to exercise critical thinking and discernment when engaging with the Bad Tiki segment.
Well, sounds like he was representative of Thomas Lugauer, though.
Why? Well, he doesn't talk about Sydney Sweeney quite like that.
You should see me off the air. By the way,
Loogie!
We all shared a moment together the first time boobies was said on WFAN. This is a historical moment.
You don't think Francesca ever said that? Never happened?
I don't think so.
We'll get back to your call. Saquon Barkley flirting with the enemy. Met fans need to get their heads re-examined. We'll hear a random John Sterling home run call a little bit later on. And, of course, more of your calls, 877-337-6666. Plus, I have to admit, there's a big boxing match that's been announced for the middle of July, and I can't wait, and I don't even like boxing anymore.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Evan and Tiki on this fantastic Thursday. 3 weeks away from the opening of the baseball season. 4 days away from legal tampering and NFL free agency, and less than 24 hours away from the NHL trade deadline. And you will hear the glass break at any point if there is a significant Ranger trade or Islander trade or Devil trade. We will certainly keep you posted. I don't know, Tiggy, if you've ever been a fight fan in your life, a boxing fan? You were a boxing fan back in the day?
A little bit. Back when...
Like, who did you like? Lennox Lewis? I was a big Lennox Lewis guy myself.
I like Tyson... I like Lennox Lewis a little bit because his British accent.
Yeah, me too. I was a kid. I thought it was funny. I was like, oh, I love that guy.
Sugar Ray.
Yeah.
Right? He was older when I started watching it. But you used to see him. They were on all the time.
No, I know. A heavyweight
boxing,
fight would...
It was like Boxing After Dark. I forget what it was called on one of those.
Yeah, they had that too. Like, to me, I was into the big heavyweight title fights. And I would watch it with my dad. I would score it at home before I was scoring baseball. I was scoring boxing matches.
Were you really?
Yeah, well, just
punches thrown, landed, cheat around.
Like I was a judge. Who hasn't done that?
Okay, but you got to count the number of punches that were landed.
No. Your eyes tell you who won the round. And my fight eyes would tell me who won the round.
But I was always wrong about that. I always thought someone was winning, and they never were.
Well, I think maybe the judges were wrong then. You got to trust your eyes. Like, Lennox Lewis, Evander Holyfield really pissed me off because that was a screw job. I think it was the one where Lennox clearly beat him, and they called it a draw, I think. I think they had it as a tie. You got to look that up because this was many, many years ago. And then they got a rematch, and I think Lennox kicked his ass, became heavyweight champion. But boxing, to me, hasn't been something I've cared about in a very long time until the pandemic. Until all of a sudden I saw that Mike Tyson was coming back and he was fighting Roy Jones Jr. And I think it was the same event. It may have been a different event. But then I also watched Nate Robinson get absolutely destroyed by this Jake Paul guy.
Yes.
So I've seen this pseudo not real boxing stuff and I got into it. But I think I got into it.
Technically exhibition.
It was exhibition. Right. Yeah.
It wasn't actual. I mean, I guess it's boxing because it's boxing, but it wasn't. Like a sanctioned fight.
I don't know if it was sanctioned or not. All I know is I watched it, and I paid for it, and it was in the midst of the pandemic. So I wonder if the pandemic got me into it. But earlier this morning, and it came out of absolute nowhere, I'm sitting there in the bathroom, and I see this image that said Netflix, Mike Tyson against Jake Paul.
So you thought it was wrong?
I thought it was a joke, right. Yeah. I thought I was being, whatever it's called, bugged. What's that website that always fools people?
Ball Sack Sports.
Yes, I thought I was being Ball Sack Sports. And then I realized, holy crap, this is a real thing. So I started giving it thought, and I saw the date, July 20th. You know what I immediately did?
What's that?
I checked the Mets schedule.
Oh, my God. No. So you want to watch this?
And I checked the Yankee schedule.
So you want to go to this?
And I checked my vacation schedule.
So you actually want
to
go?
I'm a loser. I don't think I would go to it by any stretch. I don't think I would fly to Texas because it's actually going to be at AT&T Stadium. But,
dude, are they going to sell that out?
I mean, if they're putting it in there, I think they feel like they will. Like, why would you put it in there?
What is it? What are they, 80? It's 80 down there?
Well, easily, especially with the smaller
80,000 people are going to go see Mike Tyson fight Jake Paul.
Do you not think that that's going to happen?
I don't know.
Oh, you know what's going to happen?
Mike Tyson's 57 years old.
Yeah, but he's Mike Tyson.
Yeah. Okay, but... Jake Paul's 30 years younger than
I understand.
Him.
Jake Paul's never fought a heavyweight.
He hasn't, but he's also a pretty okay fighter.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he's ever fought like real boxers, but like, he can fight.
Okay, so what are you saying? You're doing is adding intrigue to the match. All Tiki did was give a good promotion. Mike Tyson's really old.
Jake Paul or Logan Paul. Which Paul are we talking about?
This is Jake Paul. Logan's in WWE.
Gotcha. Right. Jake Paul's really young. He's a good fight. Like, all you're doing is selling the fight.
I know, but I just, it doesn't make sense to me.
Are you going
to
watch it?
I mean, of course I have to watch it. It's Mike Tyson.
You just answered it then.
But I'm not going.
No.
I'm talking about, like, filling and selling out AT&T Stadium.
Well,
that's a big deal.
If they don't get the advanced sales, mm-hmm. I have this really cool tip for them. They could claim that there's a security threat and just mm-hmm. move it to American Airlines and do it in an arena. We call that the WrestleMania 7 plan. Because mm. they tried to have WrestleMania at the LA Coliseum. They could not sell nearly enough tickets, so they made believe, oh, we have security issues. Sergeant Slaughter's a really bad heel. And they moved it inside to an arena. So I guess they always have the chance to pivot.
Yeah.
I would agree with you about the skepticism of getting 90,000 people to buy it.
But he also has a field house. There is like a smaller field house. I think it's like right down the road.
Oh, so they could do that.
They absolutely could do that.
But here's the real...
I think they play college or high school games. Like the high school championships are
They could do better than that, though. For Mike Tyson, they could get 25,000 people to watch that event.
No, I think it's big. I think it's like 40,000, 50,000.
Right.
Like this little stadium.
Oh, really? Okay.
That's also Jerry Jones.
Well, think about this. When Mike Tyson fought Roy Jones Jr. a couple of years ago, and look it up, how many people bought the fight? Because I tend to remember it being like a really big number to where we thought, wow, they got to do this again. Like people bought it, as dopey as it was, as bad idea as you may have think it is. I thought they did a really good job.
So the Tyson-Jones fight, 1.6 million pay-per-view buys.
Oh, my God.
Over, actually, it says here. Over 1.6. Now, as a wrestling fan, that basically doubles a really good pay-per-view.
That's an insane amount of buys. So it shows you there's a market for it. Now, this thing's going to be on steroids because not only do you have two worlds colliding, Mike Tyson plus whatever world Jake Paul is in, the YouTube, TikTok world, but it's not even a buy. Like, it's not on pay-per-view, it's on Netflix, which most Americans have.
Right.
So, the amount of people that are going to watch, if 1.9 million people dropped monies to watch Mike Tyson against Roy Jones, I'd have to think 15 million people are going to watch this fight on Netflix.
Yeah, even if you don't care, it's there, and you have it already, you're just curious, you're going to tune in.
Absolutely.
And you're going to know immediately, because Netflix has those numbers immediately. It's not like you got to wait for a Nielsen box.
Yeah.
It's number of subscribers who tuned in, et cetera, or bought new subscriptions to watch it. It's kind of genius.
Genius for which end? Netflix or Tyson and Paul?
Yeah. For Netflix. Well, I mean, I don't know what it's... I mean, what the hell does Mike Tyson have to lose? He's one of the
His
champions.
Life, he could die
He's
in the ring.
Die. He's 57 years old. He knows how to box. He's, generally good shape. I don't know how good of a boxing shape he's in, but...
I hate to be morbid, but when you ask that, that's my first answer. Like, he's old. He could die in the ring, and that would not be
good. That's why I ask, is this like an actual fight, or is this like an exhibition?
Right, gentleman's agreement, like, I'm not going
to
kill you.
Right, we're not fighting to the death. This isn't Drago and Rocky.
Oh, I think they're fighting. And if Mike Tyson's beating the crap out of him, they'll stop the fight. Like, I think they'll be safe about it and vice versa. But no, I would think this is a fight. This is not going to be a scripted match. This isn't pro wrestling,
totally.
If you ask me.
No, I'm not saying scripted. I'm just saying, like, are they buddy-buddying this thing? Is this brother-in-law fighting or is this, like, actual fighting?
Like, do they have heat?
I'm actually trying to knock you out. I'm trying to break your jaw.
You're fighting for... Yeah, you're trying to knock the guy out. That's my assumption. And even if you don't dislike the guy, what I would think is that Mike Tyson... I remember watching that. I've watched so many documentaries about Mike Tyson. That even if he didn't hate the person, he's going to tell himself he hates the person so he could beat the crap out of him and win the fight. So I think it's legit. And my first reaction was, sign me up. Like, I cleared my calendar. I'm going to be glued to it on July 20th.
So the Tyson-Roy Jones Jr. fight, $80 million in revenue. This one will double or triple that.
Million.
No disrespect to Roy Jones Jr., Jake Paul, Logan Paul. Their reach as far as social media absolutely trumps anything Roy Jones Jr. And Mike Tyson, the most famous, most polarizing boxer of all time. He's a draw.
Yeah, but keep in mind about the money. They also got $60 a pop on people ordering it.
Yeah, how are they monetizing this?
I would assume Netflix subs. I know it's an OG. Everybody has Netflix, but I assume subs. And then obviously ticket sales, because I think they're going to get a ton of people. They're doing this at a massive stadium. They must realize they're going to draw.
I think it's a brilliant move by Netflix, because I know one of the assumptions would be, why would Netflix do it? Like, why do they need to? They already have a lot of subscribers. They're not charging you an extra amount of money. What's the point? And to me, the point is, you want to continue to get great content.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of options. And so even when you're on top, you always want to remain on top. So I think it's great that Netflix signs these deals with Adam Sandler and whatever comedian they come up with, because they have subscribers and they need to maintain them. It's not always about adding subscribers. So I know that we're always going to look for, like, okay, how do you make the money? What's the dollar amount? Some things can't even be figured. Like, I'm a Netflix subscriber, but I even found myself recently saying, do I watch Netflix? Right. Do I use it a lot? An event like this certainly gets me to say, well, I ain't canceling it.
And these streaming services are dipping the toes in the sports world. We've seen it now with Peacock. We're seeing it now with Netflix. Monday Night Raw is going to be on Netflix. Don't be shocked if Logan Paul does a wrestling match on the same card as this, a sort of synergy. So they want to get in the sports. So this could be Netflix's way of being like, let's see if this is successful. And then we have Monday Night Raw now, I mean, and we go from
there. It's a way to get new subscribers.
Younger, too.
Younger, new subscribers. I'm not just talking about fighting. I'm talking about just sports in general. You want live sports because it makes people have to go there to watch.
Right.
The one thing I can't figure out yet, and I guess I have till July to figure it out, is when I watch this thing, who am I rooting for? Like, am I rooting,
for Tyson?
Why?
Definitely. Absolutely you're rooting for Tyson.
Well, why are you telling me who to root for?
Like, what affinity do you have for Jake Paul?
I don't have affinity for either guy. I was never a big Mike Tyson guy.
But you know
he
Mike
bit
Tyson.
Evander Holyfield's ear off. You think I like that?
So now you disqualify rooting for him ever again?
I never said that. Hmm. No, I said I don't have
an
affinity
for him when he was like champion, when he was the man.
So one of my first memories as a child
was raising baby pigeons.
Was my dad waking me up to say, we're going to watch Tyson Buster Douglas.
Mm.
And it was at some obscure time because I remember him waking me up, I think. I was so young, man. I can't remember this vividly other than my dad saying throughout the fight, Mike Tyson has never been hit like this.
Mm-mm.
Mike Tyson has never gone down. Like, I remember him describing, this has never happened before.
That felt like a fix.
Yeah, man, well. So my first memory was really the end of him when you think about
it.
Because his career was never the same after Buster Douglas knocked him out in Tokyo in, I think, 1990. So if my math is right, I was born in 83, so I'm like 7 years old.
Yep.
I'm my oldest son's age. And I do remember, that's the one memory I have, is my dad continually telling me, I've never seen this before. Wow. This is great. He usually, like, just beats everybody up.
Right.
And then I remember watching Tyson against McNeely on Fox when he made his return after being in prison. And I remember, obviously, Holyfield. That was the biggest thing in the world. But his return, he wasn't the same Mike Tyson.
No.
So when you ask me, do I have an affinity for him? Not really.
Yeah,
he's just some
young guy.
You're
too young. I forget you're younger than me. How many years? 8 years younger than me.
I also just missed watching 15, him in his prime.
Because I was 15.
So that's
when that happened.
Yeah, that's your wheelhouse.
Exactly. So when I was 12, he was dominating people.
Right. But then I remember he obviously gets in major trouble. He goes away. He comes back. He starts fighting again, but he isn't really the same.
Mm-hmm.
Then he bites off Holyfield's ear, and then he made one of the great cameos in the history of cinema. Do you know what movie I'm talking about?
Yeah, The Hangover.
That's right.
Will
Ferrell?
No. DeYoung?
Oh, yeah.
Dude is awesome.
It was amazing.
Dude is amazing. I did Gronk's new show, or his old show, because it was before he came back out of retirement, with him, with DeYoung.
Oh, that guy? No, it's hilarious.
He was awesome.
If you did a Cinco de Fivo or a Cinco de Lugo or a Cinco de Tico on the greatest celebrity cameos in movie history, it's in the top two.
Mm.
It's him and Neil Patrick Harris. Neil Patrick Harris and Dude, Where's My Car? Oh, no. Dude, Where's My Car? Is it the
It's Harold and Kumar
Go to White Castle. That's right. I get those things confused.
All good.
Those are, to me, the two best movie cameos from, like, celebrities in the history of the world. And here's what's crazy. That's like a million years ago.
Right.
So the fact that Mike Tyson may actually fight, and I say may because you never know. Maybe this thing will get canceled. Maybe it actually won't happen.
I mean, he's not that old.
He's in his late 50s.
Let me see what he looks like.
But what made you remember the Douglas Tyson fight? Because it was a massive upset. That's why you root for Tyson here, because he has no shot. You're the underdog.
You root for the little brothers. Do you think he's the underdog?
Oh, my. Yes, absolutely. Against Jake Paul, guy 20 years.
But he's not, though.
He's an old man.
But
I hope he's not listening.
You're saying that, and I'm not saying you're wrong, because I have no idea. but I'm kind of questioning it. Like, are we sure that Mike Tyson's going to be a massive underdog against a guy who's not really, really a boxer?
I think that's the whole point here, other than the fact that they're two massive stars, is that it's the older guy against the younger guy. Can the old man, you know, turn back the clock and beat Jake Paul? I think that's the appeal to the fight, other than the fact that they're two massive names.
No, I get the appeal, but what I'm saying is, why would you think that Paul would be the favorite, like the prohibitive favorite?
Because I just go younger always. Like, if it was like basketball, can Michael Jordan beat LeBron James one-on-one right now?
But Logan Paul or Jake Paul is not Jake LeBron Paul. James. Like, he's from a different world. He's not the heavyweight champion of the world.
No, yeah. That's fair. But he's still a fighter in his prime shape. I still got to go the edge there for the younger fighter.
I don't know, man. I think I'm not saying who I'm rooting for. I think the favorite would be Mike Tyson.
Do you think it's close, though? At least a toss-up? Yes. That's even more intrigue for the fight. We don't know who's going to win.
That's my point. I do think it's intriguing.
All right, so we're going to Texas.
We're in.
Tyson has him by 20-something pounds, but Jake Paul's 3 inches taller. So the reach, in theory, is longer.
So who's the favorite in your mind?
It's got to be Mike Tyson.
That's what I'm saying.
He's an actual boxer.
Have they put a betting line out yet for this fight?
No, I mean, no, but... I mean, this is the first I'm hearing of it, so maybe there is a line out for it.
I don't know, man. It's so funny we're talking about going to Texas. I already went on Ticketmaster seeing if tickets are on sale.
And?
It's not even listed anywhere because it was literally just announced earlier today. I think that's going to be the event of the summer. I think people are going to be really excited. Anyhow, real quick, let's go to Ray down in South Florida. How you doing, Ray?
Happening, boys.
What's up, man?
Yeah, this is going to be some fight. I'd like to see Tyson kick some butt. I think he would be the favorite. So anyway, just a couple of quick housekeeping things. Tiki, yesterday you were talking about who the Rams picked up. I'm a big Rams fan. So
yeah.
Von Miller was the guy that you
picked
yesterday.
Right. That's right.
That was a huge pickup for them. And then, Evan, you had the Black Mamba. We all know who the Black Mamba is, right?
Mm-hmm.
You had him turning in his grave last week when you talked about the toilet seats. Because at his eulogy, his wife talked about how never, ever did he once leave the toilet seat up because he was at a house of girls. So I just thought that was funny. And
major props to the great, legendary, rest in peace, Kobe. He's a better man than me on many levels.
Right, so then I'm watching Masters of the Air. Have you seen that yet?
Oh, yes. I started watching that.
Right, great show.
It's on Apple Plus.
Okay.
It is, right. So last show I'm watching, one of the English girls hooks up with one of the American guys, and they're going to share a room. And so she says to him, it was right after your show last week, she says, I hope your wife trained you well and you don't leave the toilet seat up.
Oh, that's great.
Thank you, Ray. It is 5 o'clock.
Cinco de Fivo with five. Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
All right, guys. Cinco de Fivo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything everywhere, and by Wendy's. Try the new Pretzel Baconator today. All right, Saquon Barkley, I think we can all agree. Hopefully he doesn't go to the Eagles, but he's most likely not going to be a Giant going forward. Pete Alonso might not be a Met after this season. So it got me thinking of the top five New York athletes that left New York in their prime. Now, this is guys that left for free agency, not traded. So no Keyshawn Johnson, Revis, Lenny Dykstra, Keith Van Horn. We're not talking about guys that got traded. Guys that left for free agency.
Keith Van Horn.
Well, I like to incorporate everybody. Keith Van Horn, of course, Nick Legend. All right, here we go.
Here we go!
Number five.
Robinson Cano. Robbie seemed destined to be a lifelong Yankee. Then he got with Jay-Z, Roc Nation. The Mariners blew him away, and the rest is history, including being traded to the Mets along with Edwin Diaz.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where it felt at the time that Yankee fans were like, screw him, let him leave, he's overrated, he doesn't hustle. And I looked at it and said, you guys just lost like an elite player in his prime. You just got outbid by the Seattle Mariners. But history proved them right. Because even though Robbie had a couple of good years in Seattle, it obviously ended in disaster.
All right.
Number four.
Okay, again, this is the top five New York athletes that left New York in their prime. John Tavares. And I think without a doubt, this one is the one with the most bad blood. Like, Islander fans to this day still hate JT with a passion, with the dopey pajamas. And of all the teams, the Maple Leafs, like, we have teams across all the major sports. Toronto, Maple Leafs. Huh. And Toronto Teak, they're like England in the World Cup. They're like the Cowboys. Everybody bands together and celebrates when they get eliminated.
The biggest problem with John Snake Tavares is the way he did it.
Yep. Right. Now, think about if Saquon goes to Philly.
Yeah.
That's all. That's what I'm talking about.
It's like the same thing. Right.
But here's the difference. If Saquon goes to Philly, is he going to tweet out a picture of himself in Philadelphia Eagle pajamas and talk about how this is a dream come true? Mm. If he does that, that adds to it. And that's a part of it. JT added to his own grave.
He went to Penn State, so it's like...
Let me make this clear. Saquon Barkley was a Jets fan.
I know.
Saquon Barkley's favorite player growing up was Curtis Martin.
So maybe it's the green.
Well, it ain't easy being green.
Number three.
All right. Andy Pettit leaves the Yankees to sign with the Astros, his hometown team. Now, I don't think he mentioned how good their school systems were, but he convinced Roger Clemens to push off retirement. Pettit, of course, one of the best big game pitchers in the history of the Yankees, really baseball. So that was a tough day for Yankees.
They got him back, which helped, but yeah. I've always wondered this about Andy Pettit. Now, granted, he got hurt in 2004, but let's say he resigned and maybe he doesn't get hurt. Maybe he just doesn't. He's in New York. The Yankees don't blow a 3-0 lead to the Boston Red Sox.
Right.
That is the ultimate, history changes if Andy stays and stays healthy. Obviously, that's a big question. So even though it sort of worked out because he came back, and I think people sort of forget that he went to Houston for three seasons, 2004 could have been very different.
No, it's the butterfly effect, and we all know that series changed the course of history for two franchises.
Right. And by the way, if that was now, Yankees... Houston rivalry.
Oh my God!
It would be on par with going to Philly.
At that time, they're in different leagues. It was almost the Astros. Yeah, who cares? Him and Clemens, whatever.
Number two.
All right, guys. Again, this is the top five New York athletes that left New York in their prime. So number two, Daryl Strawberry. Signs with the Dodgers. Now, this is a little before my time, a little before Evan's time, but I know people like Joe Beningo, they're still not over it. Straw was supposed to hit 500 home runs with the Mets. And, of course, to make matters worse, he ultimately ends up with Doc, with the Yankees, winning World Series. That stings to this day. I don't care what age you are as a Met fan, that one hurts.
That's brutal. That was absolutely brutal. I heard Darryl recently, and I know he's probably said this before, but he said, yeah, they didn't even make me an offer. Like, basically.
The Mets.
Frank Cashin was like, get the hell out of here. So, yeah, it's depressing. He also could have changed his life. Like, going back to home to L.A. was not good, and he's admitted that years later. So, it could have changed a lot, unfortunately.
And you see there's a lot of people going back home. They say you can't go back home again. Sometimes it's not always the best decision to go back home.
Number one.
All right, here we go. Number one. Hit it, Connor.
What a night it has been for Tiki Barber. He has dominated this game from beginning to end.
December 30th, 2006, 23 carries, 234 yards, 3 TDs against the then Redskins. The last three years of your career, Teak, were the best of your career. You pulled a George Costanza. You left on a high note.
Wow.
Yeah,
number
but I wasn't
one.
A free agent.
No, but you, in your prime... walked away in your prime. Right. You left New York sports.
Yeah, should be honored by that, Teak.
Then they won a Super Bowl.
That's true.
But what happened afterwards? But you were absolutely 100%.
Should he be number one on that list? You know what's different though? We never saw what happened because he stopped playing. So it's like I don't know. Like I saw John Tavares.
Right.
I saw Andy Pettit for 3 years in Houston. I saw Darryl. But Tiki, it's like, who knows? Maybe he would have had like a 1,500-yard rushing year, or maybe he would have stunk. I don't know.
Same with Megatron. Same with
Barry.
But a couple.
It's special when you guys do that, because then we don't know if it would have ended badly. Sandy Koufax treatment. The Jim Brown treatment.
You didn't get to see me suck.
I know.
Hate to say it, Willie Mays. Guys like that.
Yeah. But Willie's the opposite. He sucked, right? Yeah, all right, there you go. Cinco de Five every day at 5 o'clock right here on the Fan. Let's get to some of your calls, and then we're going to play quarterback bingo, which I'm very much looking forward to.
Real quick, the early odds, competitive book, so I won't say who it is. Jake Paul laying 360, minus 360.
Really? So you're right?
Yeah.
Massive favorite.
Tyson's plus,
he's right.
Plus 300.
He's a massive favorite.
Massive favorite.
Wow. I gave it to you. You're right. I'm wrong.
Yeah.
I apologize. I'm stunned by that. I thought because he's Mike Tyson and he's like just a professional as old as he is.
Exactly.
He'd still be the favorite.
He knows how to train.
Yeah.
I'm just looking at this picture of him. He looks like lean. You remember how he used to be just massive?
Yeah.
Muscles just bulging on top. He doesn't look that way
anymore. Well, now you've answered. See, the question has already been answered. A few minutes earlier, I said, I'm not sure who I'd root for. And you said, you got to root for Mike Tyson. I explained I have no affinity for Mike Tyson. Him being that underdog, no question I'm rooting for Mike Tyson.
Right.
No, I will bet Mike Tyson. I'll put some money on this thing. And I will be a big Mike Tyson guy for one night and one night only. Let's go to Marcus in Pennsylvania. How you doing, Marcus?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Before I bring up my Saquon thing, the only thing the exhibition or real fight will depend on him passing the the state exam, you know, the sports commission.
That makes sense.
You know, he's got to pass that exam before anything, you know. So,
you mean both of them do? Both of them do.
If he hits Jake with one of his patented body shots,
oh, it's over.
I don't know.
I'm telling you, it's over. You're right, Marcus.
If he hits him with that body shot uppercut,
right?
I don't know if Jake's gonna take it.
He's never been hit like that. I guarantee you.
Exactly. Evan, great wrestling movie, The Iron Claw. Awesome
movie. I've heard about it. I haven't had a chance to see it yet, but I look forward to it. Yeah,
awesome movie. Cool. Awesome movie. Yeah. Saquon Barkley. Listen, I'm a Jet fan. If the Jets wouldn't have signed Quinnen Williams and he went to the Patriots, I'd be mad at the Jets. If the Eagles give him an offer today, he can't refuse that. They blow everybody out the water. You can't be mad at the guy if he takes it. I mean, he's got to look out for himself.
Look, we understand he'll look out for himself, but I'm just saying that our interpretation of him from a fan standpoint will be vastly different.
Yeah.
You can't go play for that team.
And look, he's right. The Giants screwed up a lot in this.
Right.
To me,
we're evaluating.
No, because it's too late.
Right.
Like, it's one of those things. It's the argument I have with my wife. When she's mad at me, I'll say, you're right, I'm sorry. Now what? What can I do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what can I do?
Right.
So in the Giants case,
over my head for the rest of the day, month, week, right. Like, what's going on here?
Right. What can I do to change that? The Giants already had the trade deadline pass, and they didn't listen on offers. They can't change that. They've already decided not to franchise tag him. They can't change that. So now what? Now what? Nick and Wyckoff. What's up, Nick?
Hey, just commenting on Cinco to 5-0.
Yes.
Yeah, so I was wanting to say I'm a Devils fan, and Kovalchuk leaving the Devils probably set us back about, like, a good 10 years. So I know it's not New York sports, but I have to say that's probably the biggest impact.
No, it's definitely count. I mean, the Devils count as New York sports. And that was so weird because with Ilya Kovalchuk, they gave him this massive contract, and then he left, like, when he was 30, 31 years old and went. Didn't he go, like, back to Russia or something like that? And then popped up back in the league 6 years later? That whole thing was really weird. What did happen? I almost have to do some research on what happened with that.
I don't know.
But he had that massive contract. They tried to circumvent the cap. And then, yeah, in the prime of his career, he's like, I'm going back to Russia, whatever he decided to do. Let's go to Jerry in the Bronx. Hey, Jerry.
What's up, Evan?
Yo.
Speaking. What's up, man? What's happening, buddy?
All's good.
Listen, you did that countdown of New York sports figures that left New York for free agency.
Right.
Or left in general to retire. How could that list not have Mark Messier in it? That was probably the most depressing day when he went to the Canucks. I think it was the Canucks he went to.
He did.
Right?
He went to Vancouver. Then he came back. Right. He actually got to finish the story the right way.
Well, let me tell you, though, he wasn't the player he was when he was younger. I mean, who is? But can I make one point on Soto?
Go ahead.
On who?
Juan Soto.
Who's that? I'm not familiar with him. I'm just kidding.
Juan?
Let me just tell you this.
Yes.
The only way Soto's going to stay with the Yankees, mm-hmm. look at the Martian, okay? If you look at the numbers, I think with those two players, they can have comparable numbers of Juan Soto.
Hold on. Comparable number. Juan Soto has begun his career at a Hall of Fame level. This is not a knock on Jason Dominguez or Spencer Jones, but if you think that he's easily replaceable, you're nuts. He's a top five player in all of Major League Baseball. But what I think the Yankee fan needs to do, what the Met fan could do if they want, is we just got to let this freaking thing play out. Mm-hmm. The guy hasn't even played a game yet for the New York Yankees.
Right.
And we got Yankee fans worried about keeping him, Met fans obsessed with stealing with him. Like, that will be, there's plenty of time for that. And look, I'll give you the quick notes version on this, since there's bigger business at hand. For the Mets to sign Juan Soto, for the Mets to sign any big-time free agent, I am under the impression that they are going to have to not just outbid their rivals, but leave no doubt. And I said that about Yamamoto. They didn't do it. They didn't leave no doubt. I thought they needed to, and I was specific about what they needed to offer. $400 million. Tiki thought I was nuts, and yep. I said, maybe I'm nuts, but if you want the guy, that's what you need to do. So I'll make this very, very simple, and we'll find out what Hal's willing to do and what Steve's willing to do and what John Middleton's willing to do, because let's not ignore those evil bastards in Philadelphia. They're spending like crazy. If you want to take a star away from another team, especially the New York Yankees, You can't just outbid him by a dollar. You can't just outbid him by a couple of million dollars. You have to leave no doubt. And that's the only way that's going to happen. You want to believe that's going to happen? Fine, maybe it does. But that's the only way this is going to happen. With that said, Juan Soto is one of the most brilliant baseball players I've seen in a long time. He's got the greatest eye I've seen since Barry Bonds. So don't diminish him by thinking that any prospect, I don't give a crap who it is. I don't care if it's Jackson Holliday, who's the number one prospect in baseball. You got to do something before someone says, this guy will put up Juan Soto numbers. Juan Soto's been generational to start his major league career. So take a deep breath.
Fair.
You like that?
By the way, in defense of Lugie.
What'd Lugie do wrong?
Messier was 37.
Right. He wasn't in his prime. That's why I left off Jacob deGrom. That's why I left off Messier. This is guys that were in their prime. Jake wasn't in his prime. Neither was Messier.
I agree with you about Messier. Now, the Messier leaving was monstrous, and it was damaging, and it was soul-crunching. So there's no doubt. Like, that dominated this radio station for weeks and weeks at a time. Mike Keenan leaving, Mark Messier leaving, Pat Riley leaving. What was in the water for those 3 years? Like, what the hell was going on? And you can't blame Dolan. He wasn't even here yet. But I would agree with you on that. That Messier, as great as he was, you're talking about a guy who was 36, 37 years old, if we're being fair. Andrew's in Brooklyn. Hey, Andrew.
Hey, what's going on, boys?
What's up, Andrew?
What's up, man? That was a great top five today. Kind of hit me in the feels with Tiki leaving. Tiki, great to talk to you. I met you years ago when you came to Brooklyn. You went to a pretty famous pizzeria, L&B, Spumoni Garden.
Yeah,
met you back there years ago.
Well, good to,
to hear from you. The Andy Bennett thing kind of hit me in the feels. The Tiki thing hit me in the feels. It made me think of my personal biggest heartbreak, because I thought he was going to be great. Chin-Ming Wong.
The one thing, though, is he didn't leave in his prime. He got hurt in his prime and was never the same. That's unfortunately what happened.
Yeah.
By the way, I don't want to start any trouble because I'm not one to start trouble. I would never do that.
Mm-hmm.
I got to tell you, one day of Lugie doing the Cinco de Five, a lot of people love his list.
Yeah.
I think he's gotten more compliments today than the other guy's gotten in months.
Sorry, Lugie! Sorry, Sean. You might lose your privilege.
I'm just saying.
Might just have to switch seats.
I'm just saying. By the way, real quick, there's a video making the rounds at Yankee spring training. Don't worry, this is not bad news.
I was going to say, what the heck happened?
No, it's not bad news, Yankee fans. It actually has nothing to do with the Yankees, but it's making its rounds at Yankee spring training that a certain active NFL quarterback showed up at Yankee camp, went through the Yankee locker room, and then took batting practice. And I am watching video of this man take batting practice. First of all, he's a quarterback who throws right-handed.
Okay.
He bats left-handed.
Really?
I'll just start right there, which is not that abnormal. A lot of people do it. Yeah. In fact, both my sons are doing it. 7-year-old and 3-year-old. I think BT is that way as a baseball player. Throws righty back. So it's common. It's not crazy. It's just something I didn't realize. And that quarterback I'm talking about who's got a sexy left-hand swing.
Really?
I got to tell you, I'm thinking Menti H.
Where are you watching this?
I'm watching this from Anthony Reber's social media account. He covers the Yankees for Newsday. Baker Mayfield's got one sexy left-handed swing. And in the background, you see all the, who are they playing, the Astros? All the Astros just like, whoa, look at that swing. All right, it's the Tigers, not the Astros, my bad. I saw an orange hat, I got confused. Baker Mayfield's got a little bit of a cut, man.
He does got a little, he's got a little upward cut. It's a little bit too upward.
Yeah, swinging. A little too much. He's trying to jack it.
Right.
He's like Daniel Vogelback without the fat.
But he's got the bat speed to get it through.
Yeah.
Granted, the pitching is, that was a pop-up. I'm just watching it now.
Well, I'm not even looking at where the baseballs are going. It's more, he looks like a baseball player. I'll tell you right now, Met DH. Maybe him and Mark Vientos will be the platoon. Screw DJ Stewart. Let's go to Josh in Connecticut. How you doing, Josh?
Hey, guys. Can you hear me?
Yeah, what's up?
Yes.
Listen, just real quick, when you guys are talking about, like, Tyson and Jake Paul, right? First of all, do you think it's, like, fake? You know, like, someone you know who's...
That's what I was asking, Josh. It's like, is this real or listen, just, like, to fix it?
Yeah, and then, like, who's got more to lose? Like, if Tyson gets beat by him, he's happy, you know, but this is going to get a huge payday. He needs money, you know what I mean? So it's like,
oh, I almost think
he doesn't care if he lets Jake Paul knock him out.
I think I agree with you on that. Like, the more to lose is the guy who's younger, who still has a career. And
even though his career is not going to be boxing, is it?
Isn't it basically been for the last 5 years? Doesn't he go out and fight like everybody?
He does, but he's also, what is he, a YouTuber or some social media?
I think he was a YouTuber to start with, but isn't he basically just a boxer now? The guy fights all the time.
Yeah, he does. I think he's been in 10 fights, maybe 9 or 10 fights.
I mean, I remember seeing all these fights booked, most of which I don't care about, to be honest with you.
I just have no idea what else he's doing. You know what I mean? So it's hard to say, oh, yeah, he does this, and boxing is just his extra whatever.
I think at his age, though, he has more to lose. Like, definitely. Mike Tyson easily has he's an all, like, nothing's going to change your memories of Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
Nothing's going to alter that.
No.
Like, I don't think any of us are going to look at his fighting now at 58 or whatever he is and say, boy, that makes me think differently about what he is as a boxer, especially since we're not really viewing this as real.
No.
We're viewing this as it's like this fun sideshow that we're all watching.
Right.
Because we're a bunch of freaks as Americans. We just want to watch crazy sideshows. Have you seen our election? I mean, this is what we do. So I think it's just kind of us. Let's go to Rich in Louisville. How you doing, Rich?
Hey, boys. Hey, listen, I'm going to watch Tyson. What the heck?
Yeah, I know, why not? Right? You already got Netflix, right?
Yeah, sure. So I'm going to watch him. But hey, listen, and Tiki, this is kind of aimed at you, but you guys were talking about the fact that we've got a guy in Saquon Barkley that is proven. And I say proven because I want to remind you guys, and I can't believe we're not talking about this more, that the Giants gave up 80-plus sacks last year.
Yeah.
And they led the NFL in plus-minus turnover ratio. How does that happen? And so I guess my question to you, Tiki, is, can an offensive line be that bad?
Yes.
pass blocking and decent at run blocking?
So it's interesting because I'll try to be succinct. So run blocking has become so like simple. It used to be, and I was talking to Richie Sorberg, who came over the other day, and we were just talking about the old things that we used to do. Under when Mike Pope was our tight end coach and Flats and Mouse, all these guys, names that most people don't know, but Giant fans know. We had like a play that was literally toss 38 crack, meaning you're throwing the ball out to the right, the wide receiver's cracking down on the edge, double scissors, which means I catch the crack, the toss, I go back the other way, and then end up going back the way that I started. Right? Mm-hmm. Think about how complicated that is for the guard who's pulling, who has to take a step right, then circle back left, and then ultimately come back right as well. Right? Because you always have a leader.
Man.
Like, we had tons of plays like that. Nowadays, it's let's do a duo block, let's combo block, just try to get up to the second level. Maybe we're going to pull a guard here or there. It's become simple because...
Why? Because these guys are dumb or something?
No, because what's happened is that the run game in the NFL, because it's become so pass-happy, and I heard it described this way, and it pissed me off, it's become a breather play. You know what I mean? We're going to run 70 plays this game, and 50 of them are going to be passes, and it's going to be fast, and we're going to be up at the line of scrimmage, we're going to be calling it, we're going to be making adjustments, get the ball out, get up on the line of scrimmage, call another play, do motions, et cetera, et cetera. All right, hold on, let's take a breath. Run inside duo. Right, run some simple run play that just mosh pit. Maybe we get 3 yards. Now, there's some exceptions to this, but that's mostly what the run game has become, and so it's easy to do that.
Mm.
Pass blocking is complicated,
right?
Because if you get extra pressure looks, you have to designate one side as the man side. Like you two guys block those two guys right in front of you. This other side, you got to do kind of a zone thing. Right, if they bring more than you can block, you got to kind of zone it off and figure it out. And getting those calls back and forth is complicated. That's why, remember last year you were telling me, why does Evan Neal look like he's standing around blocking nobody?
Yes.
It's because he was on the man side, but he's thinking he's on the zone side.
Right.
Right? And so he's like blocking an area as opposed to blocking the dude who is right in front of him, who then goes and hits Daniel Jones right in the face. So, like, it's complicated. And this is why Bobby Jones got fired, or Bobby Johnson got fired, because he didn't teach it well.
Right.
So it's more teaching to me than it is execution, and this guy sucks, and this guy doesn't know
but
what he's doing.
But it also felt
it's
like...
It's teaching. It's also making it easy for these guys so that pass blocking isn't something that they're terrified to do.
Right. Now, they obviously have to clean up their protections, but it also felt like Saquon Barkley was an elite enough player where... he would make up for an offensive line right. that well, wasn't run blocking right, for so, him at an elite
all right,
level.
So I'm gonna. So this is one of the common complaints about Saquon. Oh, he's just dancing around. He's not doing anything.
But doesn't he have to sometimes?
Well, it's because nothing's clean.
Right.
Like so. What I was telling you about the plays that we used to run, the power, where I know that Snee or Richie, he's pulling, he's kicking out. The tight end's blocking and leading the. Harrow's blocking back. I know exactly where I know exactly where the hole is going to be. And if it's not there, you know what? Get it high and tight and try to get 2 or 3 yards and maybe you come through it. Saquon is like, all right, we're just going to hand it off inside. We're going to have double team blocks in front of you. Find the hole, right? Good luck. Find right. the hole. Hmm. And so he dances around because there's nowhere for him to go. And by the way, he's not at 6.5, 7, or 7.5 or 8 yards. He's at 5 yards.
Hmm.
And not he can't see it all because he's under the side,
right?
So the reason that he runs that way is because he has to. It's not clean. And so I know that a lot of this like negativity gets thrown at him, but a lot of it's also not his fault.
I get you. I do get you. We're off SNY early, but we were on SNY early because there's a Met game tonight, which I'm very excited about. So goodbye, SNY. I'll be locked in along with the Nets game. I'll be watching both.
No, you're not.
But... I'm not watching the Nets game?
You're not watching the Nets game.
Are you?
Why would you watch the Nets game?
Because they're in a race for the 10th spot in the Eastern Cup. What do you mean, why? And I'm a diehard fan. I'm nuts.
You know how I know you're nuts?
Let's go Knicks.
Because you told me you were scoring the Mets game.
I said I was considering scoring the Mets game.
Well, if you're considering it, that means you're doing it.
No, and what did I say
if you're
after?
Scoring the Mets game, there's no way you're watching the Nets game.
Hold on. Let's talk about this. I said I was considering scoring the Mets game, and then what was the last part of my sentence? I'm a loser. Yeah, the last part of my sentence was, but the Nets are on tonight, so it doesn't feel like it makes sense.
Well, I didn't listen to that part.
He ignored the last part of the sentence.
That's why it doesn't make sense, or it's a spring training game.
I'm a loser.
Right, exactly.
That's why it doesn't
this
make
means
sense.
Nothing. Who's pitching?
I think it's Quintana, and then Lucchesi's backing him up.
That's worth watching.
I'm going to watch it, dude.
For the
I'm
first three innings.
No, Joey Lucchesi? I got to see him pitch. He hasn't pitched yet this spring.
No, I know, but when you're scoring the game, that's a marriage. That's a commitment. So in the eighth inning, when everybody has a jersey number of 99, you're what am I doing?
You can't be like, oh, this Nets game is tight. No, forget what they did. Forget what Beatty and Vientos.
Why I'm not going to score the Mets game tonight. I considered it.
Score games and go shag.
I'm not going to do it. I'm going to watch. And I'm on DVR. I'm behind on both, which is a pain in the ass. And yeah, that's right. I DVRing Nets Pistons and a Mets spring training game.
Boy, this is the height of my loserness.
Beyond.
Yeah, this
I'm
is
a
it.
Loser.
This is
what did
bad,
you do
bro?
Last night?
I'm a loser. I spent time with my wife and kids. And then I started studying the brain of Met fans. Like, that was a real thing. I was doing that. After everybody fell asleep, I had an awkward situation last night. I need to explain
this. It happens to all guys. Don't worry.
No. Stop. So my son is doing a group. My oldest son, sometimes wakes up at night. And I wanted to keep him calm.
In your bed?
No, in his bed.
Okay.
He's in his bed. And so one of the ideas I came up with, and it's really worked, is I always have Peacock's WWE Network on in the background.
Okay.
And he's not watching it, but if he wakes up at 2 o'clock in the morning, he sees it. It's like, I watch 30 seconds of Stone Cold stunning people. I go back to sleep. Great. And it's worked.
Makes
so
sense.
It's really been it's been an effective policy. So last night, he's got SummerSlams on. And he goes to sleep. So again, he's not even watching this stuff. 6 a.m., I get up. I'm up. I check out his room just to see what's going on. Is he still sleeping?
Yeah.
He is sitting up, and he's watching the WWE Network. I'm like, oh, okay, great. And I look at the screen. And back in the early days of the early 2000s, the WWE had some very inappropriate matches. They had lingerie battle royals.
Oh, get out.
And so he's sitting there watching it. And I didn't know what to say. Like, hey, this is,
fairest flower of my soul.
This is Trish Stratus, all of Trish Stratus.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't even know what to, so he kind of looked.
Sun, the birds, and the bees.
Mm-hmm.
I was
curious. Have you seen those sweater puppies?
I was just curious, like, what was he thinking? Like, what was going through it? Maybe nothing. Maybe it's just, hey, it's, women's wrestling. That's it. Like, I'm not thinking anything.
Jed is 7 years old?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think back to the first time I ever saw Pamela Anderson on television. Right. I think you know you like it, but you're not sure why you like it yet. And then you're going to see a girl in class, you're going to pull her hair, and you're going to go, oh, I like women. Mm-hmm. So he's growing up before our eyes.
My parenting question, though, not for you two, by the way. No offense, Lugie and Connor, doing a great job filling in. Should I edit which WWE pay-per-views he gets to watch?
Now it's in his mind.
Okay. I'm just curious. Like, make sure that there's no that. There's no Chris Benoit. There's no Vince McMahon. Like, there's a lot of things from wrestling that you almost want to just not even.
Oh, would there be Chris Benoit? Because that's
yes. You know what's funny?
They had to have whitewashed that away.
So what they did is they whitewashed references to him. Yeah. But if you watch a pay-per-view, like let's say WrestleMania 20, he headlines it. He wins the title.
Right.
The match is there, but they don't call any attention to it. So that's what they've done. So that's the one danger of leaving these events on. Because like, what's crazy is that my 7-year-old's favorite professional wrestler is Stone Cold Steve Austin. Like, think about that. That's like Stone Cold's fought one match in the last 20 years. But that's the beauty of, I guess, watching history.
His next favorite wrestler will now be Sable after he watches some of her work.
I think that's on the table.
Have you seen those sweater puppies?
Sable. I remember Sable, actually.
Do you?
I do.
You remember her? You know what her real name is?
No.
Rena Marrow. True story. Let's go to Joe in Milford, Connecticut. What's up, Joe?
Hey, guys. How are you? Kevin, if you want to keep your son from watching softcore wrestling porn, just have him teach him how to, score the Mets preseason games. That'll keep him asleep.
He already does.
Oh, God.
I do have a – if you guys want to bet the ranch on Tyson, that's a good bet. Watch some of Mike Tyson's workout sessions.
His current workout sessions?
He's going to pull a Paulie from Rocky. He's going to punch his lungs out.
Oh, wow.
This guy is still
so then
dangerous.
Why, in your opinion, Joe, do you think these experts are installing him as such a huge underdog against a guy like Jake Paul? Like, why then?
I think of his age. Because if you look at Mike Tyson's workouts, this guy's not playing. Like, I think he's going to get in there, and I think he's going to let everybody think, oh, it's just, I'm old, Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
Do what I'm
well, I'll tell you what this tells me, Joe. I don't know if FanDuel has the betting line up. I don't know who has it up. I'm going to bet Mike Tyson, like, now. Because
it's a fight, so whatever happens, happens.
Because, honestly, that line's going to change. Like, if money is going on Mike Tyson.
Yeah, and you can't bet Paul. The odds are just not good in your favor. So that you bet Tyson, it's better odds. You're rooting for Mike. And like you said, the odds are going to move. So I think that's a good solid.
I'm looking on FanDuel to see if they've even put it up. I don't know if they have. Where have you seen these lines, by the way? Just like set up on the internet?
No, this what I saw earlier was the odds of from... It wasn't actually out. It was just his opinion on what it would be.
Oh, okay.
But he works at one of the books.
By the way, it is 5:30, and you've waited all day for it. As we creep closer and closer to opening day, 3 weeks away, it's time for your random John Sterling home run call of the day.
It's time for John Sterling's home run call of the day.
That'll be a 1-0 to Granderson. Swung on, there it goes to deep right. That ball is high. It is far. It is gone in the second deck. A tremendous shot for Curtis Granderson. Oh, he is something sort of grandish. The Grandy man can. Oh, the Grandy man can. He hits a 2-run, 8th-inning home run to give the Yankees a 3-2 lead.
Ah, we love you, John.
And, baby, there was no doubt about that in the second act. What a shot by Granderson.
He's something sort of grandish. You'll hear a random John Sterling home run call every day until we get to opening day. And the conclusion of this exercise, and I can't speak on specifically what it's going to be, but it is the John Sterling Grand Finale.
Mm.
And you don't want to miss the John Sterling Grand Finale on the eve of opening day.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.